Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
How's everyone doing?
Good.
Yeah, you're doing well, right? Yeah. Still doing.
How's the temperature in here?
It's actually really nice.
It is good. Nice.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. I decided just to keep the fan on all the time.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, you might be able to hear it, listener, but you know what?
We're comfortable.
Yeah, I kind of don't fucking care because it was so hot in here. It gets so hot in here because that window just like blasted
me
like
a
sunroom.
It's like my room.
Is it facing west?
Yeah.
Oh, it is. Yeah. So you got like the afternoon is like just flooding, like just all the sunlight and stuff into it. Yeah.
It gets real hot. And we're on the second floor, which always is hotter.
Oh, the heat rises. There. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ugh. Ugh.
But actually, it's fine in here right now.
First world problems.
First world.
All right. Well, happy First and Fridays, everybody. We are on Holy Gossip Girls in KC.
I'm Faye.
And I'm Tay.
And we're back for episode 3, chapter 3, part 3 of the review / story retelling of the show Captive Audience on Hulu. So if you're listening to this and you want to listen to the first 2 parts or just watch the first 2 parts of the show, that's on Hulu. Check it out. But we're going to dive into Carrie's story.
Uh-oh.
Chapter 3. All right, the synopsis is, 2 decades after Stephen went missing near Yosemite, 3 tourists vanished from the same area. When the FBI finds the killer, the Stainer family is linked to the new horrifying crimes, and the family is thrust back into the headlines. Hmm. Wild. All right, so we're just going to go straight to what happened.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of what the show did, too. They're just like, Carrie, he had some issues. And then he killed some women.
Yeah.
All right. In 1997, Carrie was hired as a handyman at the Cedar Lodge Motel in El Portal, California, just outside of the Highway 140 entrance to Yosemite National Park. Between February and July 1999, he murdered 2 women and 2 teenagers. 42-year-old Carol Sund, her daughter, I guess I did know that, but I don't think I connected it because I realized that they had the same last name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you know they were mother and daughter?
Yes.
I was not paying attention. I must have not been. It took me days to watch all of these. I would watch like 10 minutes at a time. So anyway, her 15-year-old daughter, Julie Sund, Julie's friend, 16-year-old Argentine exchange student Silvina Palacio, and Yosemite Institute employee Joey Ruth Armstrong, a 26-year-old naturalist. The first 2 victims, Carol Sund and Palacio. So Carol Sund was the mom and Palacio was the
friend. Yeah.
Were found in the trunk of the charred remains of Sun's Pontiac rental car. The bodies were burned beyond recognition and were identified using dental records. A note was sent to the police with a hand-drawn map indicating the location of the 3rd victim, Sun's daughter, Julie. The top of the note read, "We had fun with this one." We.
Yeah. Ugh.
Investigators went to the location depicted on the map and found the remains of Julie, whose throat had been cut. Detectives began interviewing employees of the Cedar Lodge Motel where the first 3 victims had been staying just before their deaths. One of the employees was Carrie, but he was not considered a suspect because he had no criminal history.
Ugh.
Because that's an automatic, oh, you're okay.
Yeah. Everyone has a first.
That's true. Yeah.
Gotta start
somewhere.
When the decapitated body of Joey Ruth Armstrong was found, eyewitnesses said that they saw a blue 1972 International Scout parked outside the cabin where she was staying. Detectives traced the vehicle to Stainer, which led him to become the prime suspect. FBI agents John Bowles and Jeff Rennick found him staying at the Laguna del Sol nudist resort. Did we know that?
I didn't remember that.
I don't think they mentioned that particular fact, but
where he was arrested and taken in for questioning. I wonder if he was nude whenever he was arrested.
Yeah. Could have been.
Why did they tell us? These are the facts we want to know.
That's the important part. I want to know that. Yeah.
Was he wearing clothes?
Jeez.
During his interrogation, he shocked the agents when he confessed not only to Armstrong's decapitation, but to the murders of Peloso and the sons, and sending the map to find Julie's body. His vehicle yielded evidence providing his link to Armstrong. He claimed after his arrest that he had fantasized about... Oh, I have this in my notes. He claimed after his arrest that he had fantasized about murdering women since he was 7 years old. Long before the abduction of his brother. That's fucking crazy.
It is.
Now, do you think that that is a true statement? Like, that he was actually... Yeah. Like, saying that as, like, it was true, or he was just trying to...
Shock them?
Yeah, shock them, maybe.
I mean,
things are said and things are done.
It was shocking.
Like, that could be, yeah.
But I could believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think kids at some point in their growth, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone has it at a different age. But at some point, you, like, become aware of the human body, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You become aware of your human body and the human bodies around you. Mm-hmm. And you're naturally curious, whatever that might entail.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it could have been something to do with that. So, like, maybe he was curious, but then it, like, because he's, like, not quite right in the head, he, like, took it to a weird... fantasy where he was like fantasizing about tying them up and stuff.
Yeah.
So we're thinking that based on what he says, he was actually kind of going through these thoughts before mm-hmm. even that original incident with his brother mm-hmm. happening. So while this is all occurring in the first two episodes,
mm-hmm.
we also have this development in the back, like almost like in the works,
mm-hmm.
like coming
yeah.
to a point
yeah.
years later, which finally comes to have, it's the 90s, right? When yeah. it finally, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
oh,
like
my gosh.
Decades later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, like, because we know it was the 70s, mm. and also we also know in this family, like, they don't talk about mental health.
Yeah.
Apparently.
So, like, if he had any type of developmental issues or like emotional issues, if he was the type of person and mentioned them at all, I'm sure it got swept under the rug.
Yeah.
Like it does for not just for this family, it was all families in the 70s.
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate. It was just a recipe for disaster. The whole part in the show where the guy who was the writer for the newspaper,
mm-hmm.
how he was like talking about how whenever he went to interview him right after he got arrested and he
because he wouldn't have a lawyer.
Yeah. The first thing he says is like, before I say anything, I want you to make a movie.
Yeah.
Tell me that you'll make a movie of this.
Oh.
And then he's like, yeah, sure. I'll see what I can do. And he's like, okay. And then he gave him a full confession.
Yeah.
So it's like the only reason why he did any of this,
see, that's why
was
I
for
feel
attention
like, yeah.
he wanted his movie.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but like you don't kill people, like it takes a certain type of person that is capable of killing people.
Mm-hmm.
So like I feel like he had it all along, but like his reasonings were just like a little bit different than some of the people that we see.
Mm-hmm.
Like he literally did it for attention.
Do you think that in that case scenario that he had this feeling, like we're thinking that was true since he was seven, but the trigger was the fact of his brother having this spotlight,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden one day it snapped in him and he was just like, I want a spotlight. And
yeah.
that was his route to get one.
Yeah.
And that was maybe, but he always had that motivation to, and that's just what brought it out.
Yeah. I think so. And I'm not sure if it was like premeditated or like a crime of opportunity, but I do believe that it was always there. What do you think?
I think that that is very possible. Yeah. I mean, but you know, like he was in a pretty big family and priorities were not all like correct. Although I will say that the family tried their best. I mean, they did a pretty good job with what they were given.
It's crazy. I can't imagine being any single part of that family. It would be so hard.
Yeah.
It was just a difficult thing.
Yeah.
But I would believe it.
Yeah.
I would. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think you could just murder a bunch of people because you want attention. Like, there's obviously something wrong with you.
Yeah.
But like the going through with it because you want a movie about you because your brother had one.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah. Being like, that's like the thing to keep you, like to push you over the edge type of thing.
God, that, you know what that reminds me of? It just reminds me of the Scream franchise about how some of them do it for the glory. Some of them do it because of this and that. And it's just like, yeah, I don't know. Like the fame.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. But it's so weird that was his route. And trying to get himself like noticed, the attention. So
You think if that was his sole motivation was to be like have a movie made about him, he could have done it for good reasons.
Yeah,
he could have like done a lot of philanthropy, like whatever, like been like a really awesome person, and then been like, see what I did, even if it was for like just for attention. He still could have been a good person, but like that's why I think it was. A part of him. I don't think anyone would just, I mean, I'm sure there are people who do it, but a lot of people just don't murder people just for a movie.
Yeah,
you have to have a certain, I can't kill someone, even if it's like a, you know, like trying to protect myself kind of thing. It's like a, you know, that's a really hard thing to do. You have to have like a mind for that. Like, even just as like self-defense, that's tough. So obviously he has that mentality.
Because
it wasn't just one.
My next note was about his mom. So I thought it was very, very interesting how whenever they were interviewing her about all of Steven's case, she was like, not like gung-ho or anything, but she was open to discussing even the most horrible details. But whenever it came to time to talk about her other son, she literally wouldn't say anything.
Yeah.
And I thought that was very interesting.
It was very telling, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, there's obviously something behind that.
Yeah, what do you think it was?
I don't know. Maybe, I don't want to say that she did, but maybe you feel like you failed as a parent to have a kid who would do something like that. Maybe she didn't want blame on her.
Maybe. I think it's just very interesting. Like, a lot of people viewed Steven as the hero, quote unquote, because he saved the little boy. And then to have like a villain in the same, and you both have, you know, both are your children. But yeah, I don't know. It was just so interesting how. And I bet she's been like that since probably the beginning of all of his, you know, issues.
I would believe that too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
I mean, a mother's love, right? Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Yeah. I just thought that was very, very intense.
Yeah.
And intensely strong. Like, all right.
Are we 100% like, just sure that he did it, or are we just going based off of that confession too? I can't remember if they actually found enough proof to like actually, or
I think
maybe
they
it was
found
like
proof in his car.
Yeah, there's stuff in his car.
Okay, that's right. Because I was like
where
thinking
the body was.
Yeah, I was like thinking maybe it was one of those scenarios where, you know, like it looked like it was him. Like maybe someone planted it all, and then he took this as an opportunity when he's like, I want fame. Here's my chance. I did it. You know, like kind of thing.
Yeah.
But like we are pretty certain. I I remember them kind of going over the details, but I couldn't remember if they actually just went based off of the confession or they found enough like evidence to, you know, make it 100% like it was him kind of. Yeah. Him.
Well, let's talk about the trial and conviction. Mm-hmm. So Stainer was, sorry, I should probably say his first name because I said Stainer this all this other time. Carrie. Carrie was tried in the federal court for Armstrong's murder since it occurred on federal land. I was wondering this. I must have, the last episode I had watched in so many little bits. Mm-hmm. I was wondering why one of them, why one murder was like the trial was like years before the other one.
Oh yeah.
And this is why it was, because it was on federal land. Mm-hmm. To avoid the possible death sentence, he pled guilty to premeditated first-degree murder, felony first-degree murder, kidnapping resulting in death, and attempted aggravated sexual abuse resulting in death. Wow, that's a lot. Wow. During the sentencing, he stunned the courtroom and he suddenly broke down in tears and apologized. Quote, "I wish I could take it back, but I can't. I wish I could tell you why I did such a thing, but I don't even know myself. I'm so sorry. I wish there was a reason, but there isn't. It's senseless."
Yeah, it is.
See, now we've got contradicting ideas here.
Yeah.
Because he was so sure of himself when the reporter came in, right?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, I did it. But, you know, I'll tell you that if you, like, make a movie. There was his, like, a supposed reason. And then finally in front of, like, all of the, like, grieving people and everything mm-hmm. like that, he's like, I don't know why I did it. I can't tell you.
But yeah.
It's, like, two different people we're talking to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is interesting. The Leslie Armstrong, the mother of one of the women, mm-hmm. started crying as she listened to him and said that she believed his apology was genuine. He was sentenced to life in prison without parole. All right. He later pled not guilty by reason of insanity to the other murders in state court.
I was only crazy for one of them.
His lawyers claimed that the Stainer family had a history of sexual abuse and mental illness, manifesting itself not only in the murders, but also in his obsessive compulsive disorder and his request to be provided with child pornography in return for his confession.
What? No way.
Is that part of
it? Is that serious? No. Well, they did not say that.
Uh-uh.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's what...
It literally says that.
Oh, my God. God. What the hell? That was definitely not brought up.
This show left a lot out.
It did.
Yes. Dr. Jose Arturo Silva testified that Stainer had obsessive compulsive disorder, mild autism, and paraphilia. Is that the one he was talking about where he pulls out his hair?
Oh, is that?
Trichotillomania.
Okay, so what's paraphilia?
I don't know.
Let me try to see if I can look that up.
Okay. He was nevertheless found sane and convicted of 3 counts of first-degree murder with special circumstances and 1 count of kidnapping by a jury on August 27th, 2001.
How do you spell it?
It's PARAPHILIA.
So that is a condition characterized by abnormal sexual desires, typically involving extreme or dangerous activities. That's okay. So that's really, I don't know what to take of that.
Yeah.
Because you're also saying that he was like, oh, if I give you this, can you give me child pornography?
Yeah.
Literally, like, well, what
a freako.
Yeah. What the
fuck? Yeah. I mean, it's what Wikipedia says.
Jeez.
Anybody can put anything on there. I'm just going to say that. But...
That is true. But, like, the fact that that was not announced in the documentary, and I feel like that's kind of a pretty interesting thing to note.
Yeah.
No wonder the mother didn't have anything to say.
Yeah.
What can you say? Because, like, she obviously loves her son. She mm-hmm. loves all of her children. But, like, what could you say that wasn't just horrible?
Right?
And, like, I feel like a mother wouldn't want to say horrible things about their child.
Yeah.
So, best not say anything at all. So, nope. I get it.
God.
I get it.
But what was going through his mind? Did he really believe that, like, you know, would do it? They would be like, they're like, deal. Like, okay. What the frick?
I wonder if they did.
They did not. There's no way they did. Because
for a confession?
Okay.
I mean, you can always say you're gonna do it.
Well, yeah, you could say that, but there's no way they were like, we're gonna break the law to get a confession out of you. I mean, like, that would be crazy. And first of all, they're like, yeah, don't worry, we've got that stashed away in one of these drawers. We'll give you what we've got. Like, what?
They go to the evidence room.
Right.
This was used in the case to try this guy. You can have these. Like, what was he thinking? What
he's not right in the head.
Clearly, he needed to. If this was the so I would say that if this was at the same time as like the 60s, 70s of when the other case was happening, he would have gone to an asylum.
Oh,
there's no doubt about it. He would have been thrown in if he had said that during that time.
Yeah.
Ugh. All right. After being sentenced to death for the brutal killings, Carrie has been housed at the Adjustment Center on death row at San Quentin State Prison in California since 2002. He remains on death row, though there have been no executions in California since 2006. Mm. Yep.
Okay.
Let's see.
So he's just sitting in there rotting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where he belongs.
Which, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So I have a couple notes just about the overall documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of talked about it a little bit, but I get why they pieced it together the way they did, and like by the third episode I was used to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I still didn't like it. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't like the weird little snippets of the movie. Mm-hmm. And like the interview, the actors reading the interviews. Mm-hmm. Them playing those horrible sounding recordings.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, what was that all about?
The interviews.
I did not like, yeah. And one of them even pointed it out, obviously, in the documentary too. They're like, all I hear is just like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So like overall it was like a weirdly edited and pieced together documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's odd that it seems like the daughter, after seeing at the very end that the daughter of Steven is the one that maybe wanted to tell this story,
mm-hmm.
it's still, I mean, it made Steven obviously still look like a hero, but like, I don't know if it resolved anything or said anything in a different way, because I'm unfamiliar with the story before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was a very weird documentary.
It was. Yeah, I agree.
They left so much out.
Yeah.
I feel like there were details that were unnecessary.
Yeah.
Like the script reading, which is just, I can't get over that.
It was so bizarre. Yeah. It was uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what else was really weird too? And it sticks in my mind because it was just odd for them to have it in there. There were almost like bloopers for like those past like reporters kind of like
giving information.
That stuck in my mind, where one of them was like kind of like, you know, like, all right, retake, sorry, ha ha ha, kind of thing. I was like, what is happening?
That was strange.
Yeah.
It was just such a strange accumulation of media.
Yeah. It was a very interesting story.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I mean, there are probably better ones out there.
Better ways to tell it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Overall, I can't recommend this documentary. I do recommend learning about the story though. Like, the story is very, very insane. Mm-hmm. And like, is worth understanding and reading about, or if there's a different documentary or podcast or whatever. But the show is just very odd.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't my favorite documentary. Wasn't my least favorite. I mean, I wasn't like going to school and watching a documentary about like, I don't know, a ship or something.
Yeah, it was all right. I wouldn't like tell my friends and family to go watch it.
Yeah.
I would tell them to go find the Wikipedia article.
Mm-hmm.
Read that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right though. The story is interesting. The documentary's way of going about it it could have been better, but the story, absolutely. I think it's worth like people looking into. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's that on that. Oh, I wanted to give you guys the rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
of the documentary.
Yeah, oh, gosh. It has a rating.
Do we want to like go over what we would give it before we do that?
Sure.
Okay. What do you think?
Out of what?
I don't know. Like, okay, so if we're going Rotten Tomatoes, I guess going literal like 1 to 100%.
But we can do 10. We've been doing out of 10.
Yeah, we could do that too.
All the other ones.
I mean, it doesn't really matter.
I'd give it a 5.
Not in terms of like movies we've seen, but maybe documentaries.
Documentaries, maybe a 6.
Yeah.
I thought the story was so interesting. I just wish they had done it better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I agree. I would give it between a 5 and a 6.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you.
Okay.
Yeah. Because like, if this was, I would recommend, if this was like the only or the easiest way to tell somebody about the story, I would be like, yeah, you should go watch this. The mm-hmm. first two episodes are really sad and fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just don't know.
What'd Rotten Tomatoes say?
Oh, Rotten Tomatoes said... Yeah. 92.
No way.
Yeah.
It did really well then. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a fresh tomato there.
I didn't know that they rated documentaries, but I guess that makes sense.
I guess
it is media for them. Oh, whatever.
God, we give it a poor rating compared to what apparently the. Yeah.
Well, probably all the people who watched it didn't have like the Wikipedia page afterwards and like go through it and find all the stuff that was told weird or. Left out.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting. All right. Well, anything else to add, you guys?
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Me either. our sources are the documentary miniseries Captive Audience on Hulu, Wikipedia, IMDb, Rotten Tomatoes, forgot to add that, I guess. we'll see you guys in a couple days for a bonus episode, but until then, have a fabulous week.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.